Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.
Thank you, God. You are incredible. You are awesome. Woo! Great. Give three people a high five, then you can take your seat. Great. Good. Awesome. So, my name's David, by the way, and I'm lead pastor here in Liverpool, along with my wife, Lisa, who's in Chorley today with our little girl, Emma, who'll be three in 10 days' time. Three, how time flies, doesn't it? And most of you know, some of you may not know, that myself and Lisa are kind of overseeing the northwest of Hope City Church. So here and Lancashire, we're in charge. So that's why Lisa's over there today. She's preaching it up good. And it's good, though, because we've only been here, I don't know. Is it 2 months? It's not even 2 months yet, is it? But last week, we were on our way over, and Emma was in the car seat behind me. And as we're driving to Liverpool, she's singing a song with the lyrics, "I love Liverpool Church." So that's good. So she's acclimatizing well to being part of this great city and this great congregation. But one of the things that I love about the guys in Lancashire, well, we were there, we've been there and moved over there like 10 years ago. We moved to Chorley. And so we've been on quite a journey with a bunch of the folks there. But one of the things that I love about the guys in Lancashire is that we've been through quite a lot of stuff together. You know, if you're around each other, if you're around in a group of people for a length of time, you go through some stuff, don't you? You've got some things to face, some obstacles to overcome, some things to go through. It's not, hey, if you just stick around long enough, it's just all smooth, plain sailing. You find if you're with a group of people, you're with a church, you're with a family, you're with a friendship group, you're eventually going to hit. You're going to hit some stuff, aren't you? And that's one of the things I love about the guys in Lancashire, is that we've been through some stuff together. And as we've come over to Liverpool, I think there's a great spirit of camaraderie, of family, of friendship, and of gosh, we're moving forward together. I love that we've come in, me and Lisa have come in here, and we've not found a bunch of miserable people. We've not found a bunch of people like, "Oh, well, I don't know, one more time round the mountain, I think I just can't be bothered." You know, we've found people are like, who are up for what's next. We love that we've found that people are not just, "Well, we'll give you and Lisa 6 months and we'll see what you come up with." You know, we've not found this, I don't know, maybe it's out there somewhere. Maybe that's just found you out today. But what we've come across is a sense of, yeah, we're up for what's next, you know? And we've been through some stuff and we're going through some changes, and yet we're up for something. And I think that's the sign of people who journey together, who are prepared to look with the eyes of faith upon circumstances and situations, say, "Hey, you know what? We're going through, no matter what life throws at us, no matter what the enemy, no matter what, you know, is thrown at us, we are going through to completion to see everything that God has planned for has come to pass." And I think that's a spirit in this house. It's a spirit of Hope City Church. And I hope that's a spirit that's going on in your life today. But I think for me, right, I'll let you into some of my not too distant history, right? A couple of years ago, one of my biggest kind of public battles as a leader was when a couple of years ago in our church over in Lancashire, just before we became Hope City, right? Because we were leading church in Chorley and we became Hope City approximately 18 months ago. So it's a bit of a whirlwind since then. But just before we were invited to become part of the family of Hope City Church, one of my great friends and probably the strongest pastoral guy within the church. He got swine flu over Christmas and he died. And an incredibly kind of difficult situation that we had to face as a church, where my friend, we've been going along, going fine, and just, you know, when you think, how can these things happen? How can these things happen to us? It's always in the news. It's, you know, something distant, but where it came close to us and actually happened to us in our church family, our church situation, that the guy that they'd say, hey, this is the nicest guy, not just in the church, but probably on the planet, right? The nicest guy on the planet. How could this happen to him and his family? And you probably could understand, as a church, as a congregation, and as a leader, that's an incredibly tough thing to have to kind of face. But I found something, and I've looked back and gone, God, this is incredible that this happened. That despite that thing happening, we found that we didn't miss a step in what God was doing in the church. I was like, is everyone going to be able to cope with this? Is this just going to floor everybody? Because this is like, we've been praying and, you know, believing, and this is not what we were wanting. How are we going to go forward? And I find, gosh, God, you've built something incredible into these people and into our lives that we can face down these, you know, the days of the kind of giant stuff, you know, the Goliath stuff. They're like, this is big and this is hard. As you look at it, as you tell the story, you think, well, that's hard. But in the moment of it, and in the actual event of it happening, finding that, God, we could move forwards. We were grieving, and it was difficult, and there was tough stuff. And yet we found that in what God had for us, we kept moving forward. We didn't take 6 months off. We didn't take a year out. We didn't all sit around and mope about it. We grieved, you know, we cried together and all that kind of stuff, supported one another. And that's a big part of getting through, right? But we found, gosh, God, this is incredible. I just look at those guys and I think, what an incredible spirit you've built in there, that we could not miss what you're doing, not skip a beat in the things that God has for us. And I think, wow, that's the work of the Spirit of God, right? And God wants to build that spirit into our lives. A spirit that can face down the Goliath challenges of life and come through and move forward. Incredible. Because maybe some of you might be facing stuff that seems insurmountable right now, right? But more than just your life, I think about the challenge for us, right, of becoming everything that God wants us to be. We're about, you know, in September, we're moving out of here. We're moving right into the heart of the city. We're going to the Epstein Theater. All that kind of stuff is happening, right? And we're about to just impact and find ourselves right in the heart and at the heart of this city like never before. I believe that massively. But as we go forward, it's not just about getting a new venue, right? That's not the thing that unlocks. It's the spirit that's within us that makes the difference. So I'm like, gosh, as we go forward, how are we going to, you know, become the people that God wants us to be? How are we going to face the challenge that's before us of becoming the church that really impacts and influences this city? Becomes a city-changing congregation. Because God wants to equip you, and maybe this morning, in the next few minutes, help you realize that perhaps you're more equipped than you think you are for the challenges ahead. Because I would have thought, if you told me what we would have faced a couple of years back, you'd said, I don't know how we're going to cope with that. But in the moment, you find, gosh, actually, God, you've equipped us. You've equipped us more than we think that we've been equipped for what's ahead. So I think we're more equipped than maybe we think we are for becoming and hitting this city. We're more equipped than we think we are for becoming even more influential for the hundreds, for the thousands of people that God wants to bring into his church. You're more equipped. You're more ready. You are more ready than you think you are for the challenges that lies ahead. Shall we get into the Bible right now? It's about time, isn't it? Turn to verse 8 and say, it's about time. Good. We're going to go there. We're going to go to 1 Samuel 17, right? Which is, this is my David and Goliath preach, right? Every preacher's got a David and Goliath preach. This is mine. Okay, it's brand new. I've never preached on this before, but this is my David and Goliath preach. All right, are you ready? Are you ready? Liverpool is ready. Here we go. 1 Samuel 17, right? We're in there and we're reading verses 8 to 10. And David is not king yet. He's been anointed, but he's sent back to the sheep. And Goliath is the champion of the Philistine army, which is standing up against the Israelite army. And the Israelite army are scared. And we're here in verse 8. It says, Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. Why are you all coming out to fight? He called. I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified. And they were deeply shaken. Say deeply shaken. Because I think maybe some of us have stuff that's shouting at us right now. Some of us have circumstances. Some of us have situations. They're shouting. They're shouting so loud. That's maybe all you can hear. All you can think about is those things shouting at you. Who are you? Who are you? Come and have a go if you think you're hard enough. You know? Taunting you. Taunting you. Why bother? Maybe you're like, why should I try and fight this thing at all? You think, I'm never going to win. I may as well quit. I may as well give into it. I'm never going to overcome. That temptation, you think, gosh, I've gone around in circles so many times with this thing in my life. I may as well just give into it. I don't know how I'm going to sort out my finances. I don't know how God's going to come through. I may as well just get into debt. You know? I may as well just do that. I may as well just get out of that relationship. Or, you know, I may as well just get into that one. You know, you're facing stuff that's shouting at you. Needs are shouting at you. I love this. He says, they were terrified and deeply shaken, right? But I believe for every believer, there's something shaking. Even deeper on the inside of you. For every believer, there's something shaking deeper than your fear and trembling over whatever you're facing. God's got something where he wants to shake in you deeper than the shaking of your circumstance and your situation or the challenge that's ahead of you. It says this in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. It says, for God, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, Timothy, but of power, say power, love, say love, that's nice, and self-discipline, say self-discipline. We don't hear enough of that in church, do we? We don't like to hear about self-discipline in church. We like to hear grace. Self-discipline this morning is what I'm bringing to you. Oh, scared. God's given you a spirit of something. Don't think I got nothing. I got nothing in this situation. I've got nothing. God's given you a spirit of something, and it's not a spirit of fear, and it's not a spirit of timidity. It is a spirit of power. A spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. I love that there's a spirit that breaks and shakes you out of the power of fear and intimidation in your life. There's a miracle-working, situation-overcoming power at work in your life. I believe it about you. I believe it. There's the spirit of God's kind of love. That's not, oh, I love you. Oh, really? Spirit of I love you. It's the kind of love that had God the Father send his Son to die for mankind. It's the kind of love that was in Jesus Christ that took him to the cross. It's the kind of love that will cause us to give our lives for the incredible cause of Jesus Christ, to see a city change. It's that love. You think, how are we gonna get there? How am I gonna be part of it? There's the work of the Spirit of God's love in your life, saying you can be part of, you can overcome, you can become part of all God's got for this church. It's that kind of spirit. It's the spirit of self-discipline that enables you to stick to your guns and set your face like flint to see what God has for you coming to pass. We're not quitters, are we? We're not those who give up. We're not those who drop out. We're not those that give in to fear and timidity in our lives. Just because we haven't got the spirit of it doesn't mean that it's not somewhere in us. I'm feeling a little bit scared. I'm feeling a little bit intimidated, but it's not the spirit of my life. There's something shaking deeper. It's the spirit of God that gives me the power to overcome. It's the spirit of God's love that says I'm going forward in his plan. It's the spirit of self-discipline that says I am not quitting. I'm sticking in with what God's got for me.
Amen, brother.
You see, here's the thing I've realized. As you read the story of David and Goliath, the battle with Goliath is easy. I don't know if you ever thought about this. The battle with Goliath, he's gone in 60 seconds, ladies and gentlemen. David turns up with his stones. He's got his stones. He's got his sling. They have a face-off. There's a taunt-off. Goliath taunts him. David says, well, I'm here in God's name, so basically stuff you. Smacks him with a stone, dead, gone in 6 seconds. It wasn't hard for David. But I've realized this, you see, that David had already won certain smaller, maybe more private, less seen, less spectacular battles on the way to defeating Goliath. You see, by the time Goliath showed up, David was ready. Because he'd already won some battles on the way. You see, giant slayers don't just turn up and slay a giant. They've proven God in battles along the way. We don't just turn up in the city of Liverpool and just say, whoa, gosh, we've seen thousands saved. We, individually and corporally, but individually, we got some battles to win along the way of life. There's battles that you've faced already and battles that you're facing now that God wants to equip you by his spirit to win, so that when we're facing those things, big things, and let's put it about the vision, when we're facing the challenge of how do we transform this city, it's not that we turn up and go, hey, it's that we've fought the battles on the way, it's that we've grown and we've learned, that we've become giant slayers in the battles that sometimes nobody has seen. And so I've just found in that chapter just a few battles that David won that made him a giant slayer. So I'm going to give you a few of those in the next few minutes. Is that okay? Cool. Good. Because these are the battles that God wants you to win. You think, I want to become everything God's, got for me. I want to become that person. Well, don't just turn up and think, well, give me a microphone. I'm going to be a preacher. You got to fight some battles, right? Fight some battles. But you're equipped to win. So here's some, right, battles that giant slayers win. Here we go. First battle that a giant slayer wins is, number one, they smash cynicism. Turn to the person next to you and say, smash cynicism. Smash cynicism. Smash the cynicism. Smash the scissor sisters. Cynicism. Oh, no. I don't know. If you're like me, right, when you first became a Christian, you were up for it, right? When I first became a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, I was so excited. I was like, this is incredible. You know, if I ever find somebody that says, yeah, I've just become a Christian, and they ain't excited, I'm like, have you really? Right? Because I became a Christian, I was like, God's real? No way. This Bible is true? No way. This is amazing. Jesus wants to know me. I can know him. This is incredible. God heals. This is amazing. God wants to transform life. This is absolutely astounding. Get me to every meeting. I'm there on the front. Yeah. Oh, come on, let's pray. Let's do something. Let's go for it. Let's tell everybody about Jesus Christ. And the thing is, right, about 18 months in, I remember the first time I really encountered cynicism in the church. I was like, what? I was at somebody's house talking with someone. I can't remember the fullness of the circumstances, but there was this girl, and I think she even had a leadership role within kind of the age group that I was part of at that time. It was like 19, 20 years old. And I was like having a conversation. I was like, oh yeah, just saying something about, I think God's got something great for me, right? God's got something great for me. And I just said, well, everybody thinks God's got something great for them. And I was, are you even a Christian? That's incredible. Everybody thinks God's got something great for them. Like, God can't possibly have something great for everybody. So why should he have something great for you? Anyway, I'm just getting that off my chest. You see, in 1 Samuel 1, 28 to 31, David's turned up. He's turned up on the scene of this. Well, there's not even a battle going on. There's just a standoff with Goliath shouting about. And David's like, why is Goliath, why is he being allowed to shout these taunts? What's the reward for killing him? Come on, isn't somebody tempted? Isn't somebody thinking, we're God's people, they aren't, we should deal with this now? He's just going, what's going on? And then it says in verse 28, he says, David's oldest brother, Eliab. It's often the oldest brother, isn't it? When David's oldest brother, Eliab, heard David talking to the man, he was angry. What are you doing around here anyway? He demanded. What about those few sheep? Yep. What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle. See, other people's cynicism can stop you in your tracks. David could have been, well, yeah, you're right, actually. Yeah, I'm just a bit full of myself, aren't I? I'm just getting a bit, I should just back off, leave it to those that are a bit more mature than me. I just, you know, someone else's cynicism can stop you in your tracks. Hey, we're going to the Epstein Theater. We're going to see this city transform. We're going to go into the next stage of all that God's got for us. Yeah, well, you know, well, we went to another building before, didn't we, a few years ago? And I remember when Roger was in charge, and it was better then. And also, there was someone else before Roger wasn't there. And anyway, and oh gosh, yes. And then you're like, well, yeah, you're right. Yeah, we'll always just wait and see. Let's give it a year, and then we'll see what happens, right? And if it's going well in a year, we'll get on board and go with it, right? Someone else's cynicism can stop you in your tracks, because sometimes cynicism. It makes sense. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, good point. Good point. But faith has got to win the battle against cynicism. Faith says, yeah, man, this is part of the journey. We're going forwards. Faith says, yeah. Faith always says, you know what, next, the days ahead are always going to be better than the days behind. Never looks back at the days behind were better. So the days ahead are going to be better. Because we're going to have grown. We're going to be not the people that we were there. We're going to be the people that we are here as we've grown in God. We're going to see more than we've seen before. It's always that. And it's the people that believe those things that will still be here and still go forward and actually see the fullness of everything that God's got for us. Sometimes will misunderstand and misinterpret your motives based on their own insecurities. You know, you've maybe not achieved much in their eyes. Maybe you've not achieved much in your own eyes. So what could you contribute? I can sit amongst the leaders of Hope City Church that I suddenly find myself amongst and think, what am I doing here? And they say, we feel like an imposter. Surely we don't. Surely we don't. So maybe we should, you know, just step back. But, you know, maybe we just, no, he's just saying, you just want to elevate yourself and big yourself up. And you can start thinking, well, maybe I just want to, I'm just getting a bit proud. I'm not going to hang around the leaders. I'm not going to try and get to know leaders because people will just think, they'll just think I'm pushing myself forward. I don't know. You know, I want to say, you know, get yourself around the people that you want to be like. Don't think I'm so proud. Or don't think, oh, someone else is going to look at me and think, oh, gosh, they're proud. Just get yourself around the people that you want to be like and learn from. That's what I've done. Jesus was always being accused of the wrong motives. Even his family misunderstood him. Incredible. Your own cynicism. Because I found this, you know, I found this in life. And people let you down sometimes, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Someone next to you is weeping right now. Just give them a hug. Oh. People let you down. And in church, sometimes we're surprised. I'm still slightly surprised when people let me down. But then I'm like, this is what happens. This is life. If I hang around and you hang around people long enough, somebody somewhere is not going to do everything how you want them to do it or say something that you think, well, that's so insensitive or whatever it may be. Sometimes people let you down, but God's the only constant. God's the one who never lets you down. God's the one who restores trust and hope and faith He's the restorer of those things. Things sometimes, they don't happen how and when we want, and we get cynical because you used to pray hard, but now you don't really, you're just a pray maybe because it didn't happen how you wanted it to. So you become a little bit cynical. For us in Lancashire, the biggest battle wasn't, oh, let's pray for John to be healed. That wasn't the biggest battle. The biggest battle was, are we going to go on in faith now, even though that's not happened how we want it to? Are we going to continue to believe for God to heal people? Or am I going to get cynical and go, oh, no, no, I don't pray anymore. I don't pray. They're not well. Well, you never know. Don't let cynicism get into you. David says in verse 29, God, what have I done now? David replied, I was only asking a question. He walked over to some others and asked them the same thing and received the same answer. Then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. David kept asking, what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do? I love that. He didn't get cynical. He just said, what are we going to do? It just takes one person to be the one that's like, come on, what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about this city? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Matthew 7, verse 7 says, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. Keep on. Say, keep on. See, when circumstances are saying, stop asking. When people are saying, stop seeking. When your disappointment is saying, stop knocking. It's time for the persistence of faith to kick in. I love that. David kept asking. The scripture says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. It says to me that sometimes you're going to be knocking and it seems like nobody's answering. Sometimes you're going to be looking and it seems like the answer's not coming, right? It says those who keep on asking. And I love that for David, he kept asking and eventually it got to the king and the king said, bring him to me. If David had stopped asking, the king wouldn't have found out, wouldn't have opened the door. It doesn't mean you've got to keep on knocking in order for God to go, are they praying? Oh, they are praying. Oh, there's someone praying. Get them in. It doesn't mean that. But there's something about faith that is persistent. There's an expectation that keeps going. It's not cynical. It's faith-filled. And I love that if he'd stopped asking, he would never have got to the king and he would never had the opportunity to face down and free the nation. So we got to not allow cynicism to build up in our lives. We got to be those that keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. I love there's a song right now on one of the worship albums that says, our generation will see a nation, could see a nation changed. And I'm like, gosh, I was singing that song 20 years ago when I got saved. Not that same song, but a song with the similar lyrics. Right? Our generation could see the nation changed. And I'm like, gosh, if each generation just passes that faith on to the next generation. If every generation says, we're going to keep seeking God, we're going to keep believing for this, eventually the generation will arise that sees it happen. And it could be this generation. It could be us that sees this city completely and utterly turned around. You've got to kind of not be cynical. You've got to have an attitude of faith. If I am keeping asking, I am keeping seeking, I am keeping knocking. I'm not going to say, let's wait and see. I was going to say, this is who I'm going to be. That rhymes. It didn't. Let's wait and see. Let's just be who God has called us to be. Amen? Don't become cynical. Become discerning. Learn, mature, process with God's word. Put yourself around the voices of faith, expectation, and wisdom. Remove yourself from the cynical voice. Maybe that's a literal person, or maybe that's just you need to get yourself around the right people for yourself to speak into your own life. Secondly, right, you got to win. Gosh, he's 25 past. Are you all right? Good. I'm going to keep going then. Right, second battle. First battle, smash cynicism. God. Second battle, win the secret war. Okay, you got to win the secret war. Say secret war. Say it kind of in a whisper. That's good. That felt good. 1 Samuel 17, 32, 37. David arrives before the king and he says, don't worry about this Philistine. Everyone else is very worried. He says, don't worry. about this Philistine. David told Saul, I'll go fight him. Don't be ridiculous. Saul replied, there's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy. He's been a man of war since his youth. But David persisted. I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said, which was the very thing he'd been mocked for previously. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death, don't you know? I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too. For he's defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Saul finally consented. All right, go ahead, he said, and may the Lord be with you. I love that. Don't worry about the Philistine. I'll go fight him. See, God wants us to be those that bring the people of our city into freedom from the stuff that's assailing them, the stuff that's trying to devour their lives. We're here for this city, right? I want to be able to say kind of to the city, don't worry, Liverpool. Don't worry, Liverpool. Hope City Church is here. Don't worry. Not out of pride, but out of, because we've known God. We've been through some stuff. You've been through some stuff. You can say into your world, you're not going to go out and say it literally, don't you worry, I'm here. But in the spirit, it's like, don't worry. Don't worry, Liverpool. Don't worry, friends and colleagues. And don't worry. Because we know God who rescues. We know God who can rescue you. And if you fought the battles, then you can become the kind of person who can see the city changed. Don't worry, Liverpool. See, David had hidden depths that Saul didn't know about. He had hidden depths that Saul didn't know about. You've got hidden depths that not everybody sees. Do you just see you? You might say, well, what do you look like? What's impressive about you? But I know you've got hidden depths because you've fought some battles, right? You've got hidden depths that are the times you've proved God faithful in your private circumstances. It's those things of your history that are no longer controlling you. You fought some bears, fought some lions. It's the fact that you're still here when others have run. It's the fact that you've allowed God to do a work of transformation, rescuing you from the lions and the bears of bad habits, of wrong thinking, of selfishness. When you believe in God for something to shift, or when you believe in God for an incredible move of God in Liverpool, and across Hope City Church, and something says, don't be ridiculous. You just need to turn back and say, don't you be ridiculous. Don't you be ridiculous. So saying, hey, we got some great, great vision, great plans, great purpose. God's going to do. Oh, don't be ridiculous. Don't you be ridiculous. We're part of this. We're in. We're sold out for what God's doing and what he's about to do. Sometimes the public stuff is the easy stuff in that we can put on a show. Can't we? I don't know if you ever do that. Put on a show when you're around people in church. But I found this, that those who really see the best life that God has for them have won the secret war, have found something of a consistency between the public you and the private you. Not everything, right? So, because I'm not exactly the same in private as I am right now, right? I don't do everything. Well, I don't need a microphone for everything. And, I don't kind of gesticulate as much in real life. He's like, hey, can we put the television on now? That'll be awesome. There's some great TV programs about to come on, ladies. Come on. Come on. Are you ready? You're ready for the TV? I'm ready for my dinner. What's it going to be? What's it going to be? Come on. Come on. But there's a consistency, right, of heart and attitude. There's a consistency between who I am in private, who I am in public. I love this, that David was doing the right thing in private, not because it will be recognized, but because it was the right thing to do. He was protecting what God had given to him. If I think about, for me, how protective am I of Emma, right, my little girl? How protective am I? How protective are you? You got family. You're like, don't you hurt my family. You hurt my family. I hurt your face. You know? In love. Obviously. But you got to not let stuff devour your home life, right? You got to not let stuff come in and devour. Because I'm like, God, if I'm going to be the person that's going to change the city or change the lives of people around me, I got to be someone who's able to deal with the stuff at home, right? I got to deal with the secret, with the private, which nobody sees. No, you don't all see what my home life is like. You just see this. But if this is going to have any reality, I got to deal with that, right? You've got to not allow debt to devour your home life, or unfaithfulness, or dishonesty. You've got to win the secret war. Do what you need to do. Get help. He says this in 1 Timothy 3, verse 5. He says, if a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? Incredible. If a man cannot manage his own household, you say, oh, well, that's just for guys, and that's just for guys in leadership. I'm like, well, no, if we don't win in private, how can we be the people that impact the culture of our cities and our nations? That's what he's saying. It's not just about, oh, it's a thing for leaders. It's a thing for all of us. But if we do win in private, then we will be those that see God's church built and the nation changed. Because what we're taking to the nation is, here's a culture of our lives and our homes. We're not just taking a message and some songs. We're taking, this is a reality of it in our lives. So to become a real giant slayer, you got to win a secret war. To become a city changer, you got to be a winner in private. Whether that's family or whether that's just you, you're single or whatever it is, you got to win the secret war. It's the one who win the secret war that will win the public war. Lastly, right, and we'll finish, and maybe get the keys up, then that'll speed me up, right? Keys? No keys, no. Guitar. You can play guitar. Who's playing guitar? Are you going to play guitar? So, yeah, you can play guitar. Cool. It says this, right? This is a last one I'll share with you, right? You got to cancel the crisis of identity, right? You got to smash cynicism. You got to win the secret war, and you got to cancel the crisis of identity. It says 1 Samuel 17, 38 to 40. It says Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he'd never worn such things as these. I can't go in these, he protested to Saul. I'm not used to them. So David took them off again. He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream, put them into his shepherd's bag. Then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and a sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Here's something I've realized. You can kind of tell, generally, it's not an exact science, but you can tell what church people are from by what they wear. I've noticed this. Phil? Well, I've realized, since I became part of Hope City Church, my shoes have never been so pointy as they are now. Oh, it's like I never had pointy shoes before. And Pastor Dave Gilpin has pointy shoes. And I suddenly find myself with pointy shoes. How has this come to be, this mysterious thing? But the truth is, you're not called to be somebody else. You're called to be you. Merely dressing like Pastor Dave Gilpin does not make me more like Pastor Dave Gilpin. Doesn't. I tried, it didn't. Just dressing like Dave doesn't make me able to preach like Dave, or I've not learned anything. Just because you're trying to be like someone else, just try. I need to be like them. I need to be more like them. If only I was more like them. It doesn't make you more like them. It just makes you less like yourself. It just makes you less of who you're supposed to be, because there's a big difference between trying to be somebody else and learning from somebody else. I want to learn from somebody else, but I want to be me. God wants you. One of the biggest discoveries of life is discovering who you are, and it's a process. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm completely myself, but I'm more myself than I used to be. Because God wants to release the real you. Not the real you trying to be somebody else, but the real you. And to win the victories that God has for you, He doesn't want you to do it trying to be someone else. I just try and be like that. He wants you to discover who you are and enter into the things of God as you are. You see, I love this, that David, he took off the armor. Not because it didn't say it doesn't fit him. He He says, I'm not used to this. This is not me. It's not who I am. And he just, what did he do? I just dress as a shepherd. That's what I am. He just took what he knew. He took what he'd learned. And he took that with him. It kind of seemed like, I don't know if this makes sense. Because it should be armor, shouldn't it? But he said, I'm just going to take what I know and what I've learned. I'm taking my shepherd's staff. And my sling, right? I say, I'm dressing as a shepherd, I'm going. See you later, King Saul. I'm on my way. So you've got to strip off the armor that isn't the real you. And put on who you really are. Put on who you really are. And that doesn't mean, oh, well, I am who I am, you know. So I would just be me. No, this is just the way I am. No, David's sense of identity came out of knowing God. This is a real David. With David knowing God. And the real you, it's not just, oh, it's just me. It's you knowing God. We've heard this scripture, I think, or someone quoted earlier. Galatians 3, 26 to 27. It says, you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ. Like putting on new clothes. You got to take off the armor of trying to be someone else and put on Christ. Put on faith in Jesus Christ. Put on reliance in God. Put on submission to God's Spirit. Because that's who you really are. You're never meant to do this life on your own. You're not you on your own. You're only you when you're connected to Jesus Christ. You're only you when you've put on Christ. That's the real you begins to come out. You got to take off the armor of trying to be someone else. You got to take off the armor of self-protection. Some of your armor is you protect yourself from anybody seeing who you really are, letting anybody in. And I find that it usually correlates how we are with others with how we really are with God. Because when we're really free and open with God, we tend to find that we find ourselves becoming freer with people. You got to take off the armor of self-protection. You got to take off the armor of self-reliance. You know, here are David. Here's my armor. You're gonna need my armor in this, because you can't do it. You just got to take off the armor of self-reliance and put on reliance in God. Because David put on the shepherd's clothes. Dressed as a shepherd. And my brain got thinking, and I thought that he was dressed as a shepherd. But we're putting on. It says, put on Christ, who is the good shepherd. You know, put on Jesus Christ. And David, he may have gone in looking just like it was just David, but he was David clothed in faith in God, reliance on God. And you can only face what you're going to face, and what you're facing now, and what we're facing going forward, if we're reliant on God. Clothed in Jesus Christ. The clothing of someone confident in their God. I love that. David had to be confident in God, didn't he? To go, you know what? I am going to leave the armor and I am going into battle. Here we go. The guys would have looked at him and gone, what is David doing? What a complete idiot. He's going to be slaughtered. But the clothing he had was reliance in God. That's all you need. That's all you need. It's all you need. Reliance in Jesus Christ. Come on, why don't you just close your eyes where you are right now? It says in verse 45, it says, David replied to the Philistine when he was taunting him, you come at me with a sword and a spear and a javelin and stuff, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. Everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with a sword and a spear. This is the Lord's battle. He'll give you to us. This is every eye's closed right now. You just need to know whatever you're battling, Whatever you're facing, it's not your battle. It's not yours to fight in your strength, in your own wisdom, in your own working it out. It's not yours to find some inner strength of your own. I'll get through. I can do it. It's not a battle where you're just going to, I just need to quit. I'm going to shrink under it. It's going to defeat me. This battle's going to defeat me. This circumstance, this situation, this... Because it's not your battle. It's the Lord's battle. The enemy comes at you, maybe with accusation, maybe with fear, maybe with intimidation, through circumstances, through emotions. But whatever your battle, it's the Lord's battle, whether big or small, whether it's public or private. Why don't you just lift your hands where you are right now? Why don't you just submit to the Lord, strong and mighty? He's the Lord mighty in battle. He's the Lord your deliverer. He's the Lord your healer. He's the Lord your provider. He's the Lord your wisdom. He's the all-sufficient God. Maybe for some of us, it's time to take off. Let's take off some armor. Self-protection. It's time to come out of the shadows. It's time to expose just something of the real you. Maybe to others, to let them in. You hide yourself. You shrink away. You don't let people in. You're scared what they think. So just take off that armor and you can put on Jesus Christ. Put on reliance in God. Right now. Right now. Maybe you realize you've become cynical. Maybe you realize you used to pray more than you do now, because you used to believe more. But a few things, they haven't gone the way that you thought they'd go. And so you find, you pray less. You believe less. You're a little bit more wait and see than let's do this. It's time to smash that. The spirit of faith. God, spirit of faith, I pray right now. If that's you, you're saying, yeah, I've been more cynical. I've got some cynicism going on in my life. Why don't you just lift your hand right now? It's all right, eyes are closed. Yeah, this hand's going up. Father God, I pray for every single one of these. Just, it's kind of lifting the hand and acknowledging it is defeating it. Saying, this is not who I am. This is not who I'm called to be. Father God, I pray that right now, not by stirring it up in their own heads, Lord God, but your spirit that's not of fear and timidity, but your spirit of power, your spirit of love, your spirit of self-discipline, your spirit that believes, a spirit of faith, God, would just rise up afresh in every single one of these hands that are raised right now, Lord God. Spirit of God, rise up, break every cynical kind of thought that's built up, every stronghold of cynicism, Lord God, every lack of expectation, Lord God. Father, I pray that you reignite within every heart, every spirit, every soul, Lord God, a spirit of faith that says, yes, God, because we're your people, because I'm your child, and because of that alone, I can believe you. I can trust you. I'm not going to be cynical. I'm going to be discerning. I'm not going to be stupid, but I am going to be faith-filled. I'm going to renew a spirit of expectation. Jesus. You know, and lastly, maybe, you know, gosh, I got some secret wars I need to win. I got some secret wars I need to win. I'm aware of them. Maybe it is relational. Maybe it is family. Maybe it's just personal. I got some stuff. I got some trials, some temptations, some things. I've got some wars to win right now. And if that's you, why don't you, you can raise your hand as well. I'd love to pray with you if you recognize that for yourself right now. Every eye closed. Even if you're banned on the stage, right, close your eyes. Just let people. Yeah, Father God. Father God, it's not by power or by might of human strength, but by your Spirit. By the power of your Spirit. Jesus. Father, will you strengthen, will you enable, will you equip, will you bring wisdom? God, we break the power of intimidation, break the power of temptation, Lord God, in these lives right now, Lord God. Father, everyone who needs to win that secret war, Father God, will you encourage them? Will you let them know? God, will they see in their hearts that they're your child? That you're a child, Lord God, so they're not going to fail. It's not going to defeat them. They're not going to be devoured by it. They're not going to lose what you've entrusted to them, Lord God. Father, I thank you, God, that they just rise up faith in their spirit, Lord God, and a knowledge that strengthened by you, Lord God, they can overcome, they can defeat what they need to defeat, they can see these things turned around, Lord God. Jesus. Come on, let's all stand here right now. Come on, church. I believe God's doing some business in people's lives today. Why don't we all lift our hands right now? Why don't all of us just decide? You may not have identified a specific thing, but right on you right now, just say, I'm taking off the armor of self-reliance, the armor of doubt, the armor of unbelief, the armor of cynicism. Why don't you say, I'm taking everything off, the armor of trying to be someone else, the armor of thinking, I'm not good enough, I'll never be them. Take off everything, just by faith, and I'm taking off everything that's not me, everything that doesn't represent who you've called me to be, who you've created me to be, Lord God. I'm taking it off. And right now, I'm putting on Jesus Christ. That's all. That's it. I'm putting on Jesus Christ by faith right now. Come on, let's worship Him. Let's worship Him as we do that. Just sing to Him. Worship Him. We worship you, God.
Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.